Well, again, welcome to Reign of Christ Sunday. Now, Bear, it's rain, R-E-I-G-N, rain. It's not the rain that Ron's always praying about. It's rain like ruling over everything. Well, today is the last Sunday in the Christian year. This marks the end of what the church calls ordinary times and the beginning of Advent. Yeah. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Can you believe it? The next Sunday, we really kick off kind of like the new year in the church and the Christmas season and everything else that follows it. It starts now. But for today, it is appropriate that we kind of pause and wrap up the closing year by reminding ourselves who we are and to whom we belong. Reign of Christ Sunday. It celebrates the exaltation of Jesus Christ as the ruler of the universe. In Philippians 2:9, our own Saint Paul wrote this. He says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, in heaven and on earth and under the earth." And what a beautiful name it is, right? The name of Jesus Christ our King. And so we celebrate it and remind ourselves as we close out yet another church year that this is Reign of Christ Sunday, and he reigns over all of us. And let's turn now to our first reading today from Revelations chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Now we find ourselves here with the author on the island of anybody. Where's Linda? Where? Patmos. That's right. We're on the island of Patmos, a small island off the east side. Now, look what they do. I can't go down and draw a map for you like Kurt would like me to do because they cover it up, probably on purpose. If you picture picture Greece, Patmos is off to the right side of Greece, small island off the east side of Greece. Okay, so who wrote this? Well, the first word we heard from Kieran in this reading was a name. Remember? John. That's what he said. Pretty common name. But the consensus is, and tradition certainly is, that this is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. So John of Patmos is believed by most, not everybody, but believed by most, to also be John the disciple, the author of the Gospel, and also the author of the three short books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the book of Revelation being the last that he wrote, and he wrote it late in his life, in his old age. Okay, a lot of the book of Revelation is pretty abstract, right? You may be aware of that, full of imagery. And I've read it, and I've even had some studies about it. But I don't spend a lot of time, we don't spend a lot of time trying to decipher those sort of abstract parts about it. That's true. But the book also includes some very beautiful and I think very, very personal observations, reflections on the nature of Jesus, which does lead me and many to think that, yeah, this really is written by John, the disciple who Jesus loved. That's what they called him. And in our reading today, you hear some of that. And it ties in beautifully to our Reign of Christ celebration. R-E-I-G-N, reign. John describes Jesus this way. Jesus Christ, the ruler of the kings of the earth, who is, who was, and who is to come, who loves us and frees us from our sins, Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. The Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. Right? I mean, this either serves as a grand introduction or a clear reminder to the seven churches in Asia to whom this was written, and also to all of us, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, King of kings, the Alpha and the Omega. Now, Alpha and Omega, Jesus repeats this line two more times at the very end of the Bible in chapters 21 and 22, and chapter 22 is the very last chapter in the Bible. In 21:6, Jesus says this, quote, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And then in chapter 22, he says this, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star." And yes, this is his closing comment in the Bible. "And yes, I am coming again." And that then is it. That's the end of the Bible. The bright morning star is coming again. Right? And it's fear not, you know? Fear not. It's a message of love, not fear. And it's a message of hope. And in the meantime, the rest of the story, at least in part, is that he does not leave us here alone to fend for ourselves, right, here on earth, as orphans. No, no, he stays with us. How? How does he do that? Well, John documented that pretty well when he wrote his gospel. Yeah, he did that probably 20 or 30 years prior to writing the book of Revelation. In our gospel reading today, John quotes Jesus as promising in verse 18. He says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you at all times. The Spirit of truth will be with you and live in you." And then a little bit later, in chapter 16, verse 13, this is one of our favorites. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will guide us to all truth. Ring a bell? Yeah, we'll talk about that. The Holy Spirit, it's something very real and yet very mysterious. You might even say confusing. And that's okay. That's okay. These are matters of faith, not certainty. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. It's okay to be confused about a mystery. Right? We should ponder it and struggle with it. Absolutely. And we can even disagree about it and debate it. These are matters of faith. Yeah, absolutely. But should we fight about it? Dig in our heels over it? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I'd caution against that because very quickly that becomes prideful. That becomes prideful. Because again, the Holy Spirit and many other things is a real mystery of faith. Sure. But for us, no doubt, the Holy Spirit is worshiped and revered as part of the Trinity. Yeah? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, see if you agree with this, to me at least, it can sometimes sound like it was something the Holy Spirit knew, like something that Jesus was going to send to earth for the first time, right? Maybe for the first time at Pentecost, Kind of struck me that way for a while. But no, no. We see the Holy Spirit at work here on earth from the very, very beginning. In the very first opening verses of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is there, hovering over the waters. You can see it in the very first verses of the Bible. And look at this. In our responsive reading today, right there in your bulletin, we hear King David praying to God. You can see it. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David was a man filled with the Spirit. And this was very specifically confirmed in the book of Acts, 1,000 years later. Listen to this. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 16, it says this, quote, "The scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through King David." And so, the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, one God in three persons, was here, is here, and always will be here to help us and guide us as our advocate. And today, we make a special request to God, the three in one. We make a request, humbly, yes, humbly, but with confidence and with assurance, that on this Reign of Christ Sunday, the Holy Spirit will join us at this table. In a few minutes, you'll hear me ask in prayer for the Holy Spirit to enter this bread and these cups. Now, why do we do that? Why? Well, we do it symbolically, yes. We do it in remembrance of Him, right? We were commanded to do that. We do it in remembrance of the reign of Christ, the ruler of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega. And we do it to honor His promise that we're not here alone. We've not been left alone as orphans. He is with us. His Spirit is here with us now and even to the very end of time. Amen.